Father, thank you that you put an expectancy in our hearts, a new expectation, Lord God, that you are about your business on planet Earth, Lord God. You're about your business in this church, Lord God. You're about your business in this heart. Lord, your spirit is still brooding and hovering over this planet, Lord God, and our lives to bring your form, Lord God, to bring your shape, to bring your light, Lord God, to bring your peace in all the areas of our chaos or our aridness, Lord God, our fruitlessness, Lord. You're hovering and brooding. Lord, everybody in this room, Lord God, and the children, you're wanting to bring something to birth, Lord God, to do a new thing, to bring about your kingdom business, Lord God, to glorify your Son. Lord, thank you that you did what you did, and thank you that you're willing us to do great and mighty exploits for you, Lord God, that we might also support you in getting attention, not just from us, Lord God, from those who are lost, Lord God. So, Father, Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus, just come this morning, like you are already here, of course, but just minister your word to each heart, Lord God. Thank you that the foolishness of preaching, Lord God, you, by your spirit, just get underneath the radar, Lord God. You get into the locked hearts, Lord God. You get into the dark and dingy places of all of our hearts and all of our lives, Lord God, just to bring life and light. So amen to that, Lord God. Come and do what you want to do this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to be reading from the Amplified this morning, so I don't know whether you can get that. So shall I just read Isaiah 31? I'll read the whole chapter. It's not long, but it's from the Amplified, so it might be a while. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, who rely on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but they look not to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek and consult the Lord. And yet he is wise and brings calamity and does not retract his words. He will arise against the house, the whole race of evildoers, and against the helpers of those who work iniquity. Now the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. And when the Lord stretches out his hand, both Egypt, who helps, will stumble, and Judah, who is helped, will fall, and they will all perish and be consumed together. For the Lord has said unto me, as the lion or the young lion growls over his prey, and though a large band of shepherds is called out against him, he will not be terrified at their voice or daunted at their noise. So the Lord of hosts will come down and fight upon Mount Zion and upon its hills. Like birds hovering, so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. He will protect and deliver it. He will pass over and spare and preserve it. Return, O children of Israel, to him against whom you have so deeply plunged into revolt. For in that day every man of you will cast away in contempt and disgust his idols of silver and his idols of gold, which your own hands have sinfully made for you. Then the Assyrian shall fall by a sword, not of man, and a sword, not of men, but of God, shall devour him. And he shall flee from the work, the sword, and his young men shall be subjected to forced labor. In his flight he shall pass beyond his rock, his refuge and stronghold, because of terror. Even his officers shall desert the standard in fear and panic, says the Lord, whose fire is in Zion and whose fairness is in Jerusalem. And that's really the verse that I felt was from the Lord this morning, and it's on the notice sheet to say to you, his fire is in Zion and his fairness is in Jerusalem. And my question to all of us this morning is, what are you doing with the fire? What am I doing with the fire? Because there seems to be something different between the fire and the fairness. And God this morning wants us to focus on the fire so that we can build a fairness. And hopefully this will make sense as I go on. Hallelujah. There's lots of verses in the Word of God to refer to God's presence as fire. Hebrews 12:29 says, our God is a consuming fire. Matthew 3:11, John the Baptist said, he, that is Jesus, will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 3, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came and rested upon each one of them as tongues of fire. And I was thinking about fire, and I was reminded of when I was at school a long time ago, it seems, and in physics. And we used to have Bunsen burners. You all probably have used them. And I was a bit of a messer at school and didn't really concentrate. But I remember the Bunsen burner, and when it was first switched on, there used to be this sort of floppy yellow flame. And I'd be in a messer, and all the lads would say, see how long you can put your hand on it. Duh, look. And that's what we do in physics at the back, always at the back. We just mess with the flame. And we could put our hands over this very gentle yellow flame. And we'd dare each other how long we'd put our hands over it. But then we'd turn the Bunsen burner, just a small turn. And instead of this yellow, floppy yellow flame, it became a very focused, intense, blue, noisy flame. And we were not as daft as to mess with that one. Whose fire is in Zion and his furnace in Jerusalem. And similarly, with God's presence. I hope you know the difference. In Psalm 139, verse 7, David cried, where can I go from your spirit or flee from your presence? Of course, God is omnipresent. There's nowhere you can go from his presence. Whether you go to the highest height or the deepest depth, whether you're on the mountaintop or in the absolute pit of despair, God is there. You cannot escape his spirit. You cannot flee from his presence. Yay. But in Matthew 18:20, it gets a little bit more blue. Instead of a lot yellow, it gets a little bit more intense. And Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am in the midst. Have you sensed the difference? When two or three are gathered, it becomes a little bit more focused, a little bit more intense. Instead of the yellow omnipresence of God, so to speak, we have this noisy, focused, we're in his presence. He's in the midst. We're concentrated. We're going to pray. We're going to fellowship. We're going to do something. You see, that yellow flame couldn't boil a kettle. But that blue flame used to change things. That was the heat that changed the experiment. That was the heat. You didn't hold your test tube over the yellow flame, did you? You held it over the blue flame. And that blue flame got the results. And even further still, in 2 Chronicles 5:14, it talks about the priests. It says, the house of the Lord was filled so that the priests could not stand to minister, for the glory of the Lord filled the house. What would you do if I fell over now and just under the presence of God? Would it scare you? Please, somebody said. Is anybody with me? You can see that there's a difference. Whose fire is in Zion, whose furnace is in Jerusalem. It seems to me that we sometimes are satisfied with just the yellow flame. And there's more. And God wants us... I'm getting ahead of myself. Isaiah 31, it seems to me, is about being all in. About being 100%. It's cliched, isn't it, that Jesus is either Lord of all or not Lord at all. 100% reliant on God. Not trusting in Egypt, the world, or our idols, Idolatry doesn't happen outside of here, really. Or if it does, it's not recognized. You can go and idolize your football team or your television, whatever. But we also can have idols. And we can trust in them. I believe Isaiah 31 verse 9 is a call of God upon our lives, a call of God upon each one of us to build around the fire. Thus creating a furnace. Does that make sense? Can you see the progression? We all might have and do have his fire. But my question, to go back to it, is what are we doing with the fire? Are we happy with the yellow flame, the comfort, the heat? Are we happy with what we have right now? And in some senses, I can say, I'm really content. But in some senses, if I died today, I'd see Jesus' face. Wonderful. But there's something on the inside of me that says, if I died today, I wouldn't be a happy bunny. Because I want to see the purposes of God worked out in my generation. I know, with all my knowing, that God has got so much more for me and for thee and for these. That was rapturous. I don't know which way to turn. Let's say that again. I know, I am convinced 100% that God has got so much more. I've spoken, you know, we have a Monday group, Agewell, and I keep saying to people, I have this, it's on my left-hand side, I don't know why, of Christ and him crucified. Jesus is Lord. And when I look to this scene of him crucified, I want to laugh, I want to cry, I want to dance, I want to fall down flat. It's just everything. And in comparison to what we have in the sense of power, man's power, we only have the atomic bomb, don't we? The mushroom cloud. That's as powerful as we get, basically. But when I look to him, Christ and him crucified, I see a gazillion times more than that. And I have this 30-watt bulb. I have some light, but you're not going to get warm off it. I need a bigger bulb. I want a bigger bulb. And I am the fuse to that bulb. Like Uncle Fester in the Adams family. It's, you know, I pick that bulb up and it's me. I am that fuse for all the gazillions of wattage or joules, whatever this power is. It's down to me that makes that bulb light up. His fire is in Zion. His furnace is in Jerusalem. I think sometimes, and this is what we have to be aware of as individuals and as a church, due respect, is that what we sometimes do is we build a furnace and then we say, any chance of the fire, don't we? Have you ever done that? Come on. They're not telling the truth, Rob, at all. Sometimes, this group might, sometimes what we do is we build a furnace and then we pray God bless it. Is that the way it's supposed to happen? We have to, thus says the Lord, find out where the fire is, find out what the fire's doing, find out how the fire's moving, and build our lives around that. Now, that's a world of difference, isn't it? If we can find and be in Holy Ghost and know what he wants to do, and we build all our building blocks around that fire, that's where the intensity of heat will come. That's where the furnace is. That's when it changes from his fire in Zion to become a furnace in Jerusalem. That furnace then will make the difference in our individual lives corporate lives, evangelical, prophetic, apostolic, pastoral lives. That's the secret. That's the key. That's the key for you who are questioning today. That's the key, is to build around him. Is this too simple? What he's doing, where he's moving, what he desires. Do you know it's all about Jesus? If I ever say anything else but that, I want somebody to come and knock me lights out. It's always been, it always is, and it always will be about him. He is it. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's the glory and the lifter. He's the answer. He's everything. He's all in all. So why do we not build our lives around him? Isaiah 50 says this, 50 verse 11 in the Amplified says this. Behold, all you enemies of your own selves who attempt to kindle your own fires and work out your own plans of salvation, who surround and gird yourselves with momentary sparks, darts, and firebrands that you set aflame. Walk by the light of your own self-made fire and of the sparks that you have kindled for yourself, if you will. Seems to be a bit of sarcasm in this one. This sarcastic translation. But this shall you have from my hand. You shall lie down in grief and in torment. Hands up, we want grief and torment. We have the ability to build our own fire. We have the ability to make our own fire. We have the ability to create fire, live by it, and die by it. God is calling us to build around his fire. Our leisure, our hobbies, our family, our relationships, our work, our church life, etc., etc., etc. The building blocks of our lives, he's calling us to build them around what he's doing, what he's up to, and where he is. I wrote this down, but I'm going to say it in a whiny voice. Is that all right? But you don't understand my life or the context of why I am like I am. That's how I wrote it. So, but we're like that, aren't we, sometimes? Is anybody coming up with some excuses in their own hearts and heads right now? Yeah, me too. You don't understand my life or the context of why I am like I am. I looked up the word context in the dictionary and it says, the situation within which something exists or happens and that can explain it. You're miserable and you might tell me why. That's the context. We all have contexts, don't we, in which we live our lives. I am miserable because, and you can give me, and I don't want to decry or underplay your pain. I just want to maybe look at what we do. Your life might play out like a country and western song. Oh, my partner left me, the house burnt down, my dog has bit me and I don't know what to do. That's not quite country and western, is it? But we have a choice. With all the context that we have a choice, I believe God is saying, to press the reset button and choose a different context. We can choose a different context. Can everybody see that? It's a matchstick. Look at that. It's a big matchstick, but it's a matchstick. Let me give you context. Use your sanctified imagination. So, you're on a ship. I might have done this before here. I'm apologize, but it's still true. You're on a ship. It's midnight. The ship hits a big iceberg. It goes down. It's dark. It's cold. You're bobbing around in the sea and you've got this matchstick. Is anybody with me? Are you there? It's cold, it's dark, it's wet, and you have this matchstick. This matchstick, in that context, is useless. It's useless, absolutely useless. There's nothing dry to strike it on. It's not going to give you any buoyancy because it's just a matchstick. It's useless. Scene two, same matchstick. You're in the middle of the Australian bush. It hasn't rained for 3 months. It's 40 degrees. This is now the most dangerous thing that you have. Are you with me? Are you with me, people? Same matchstick, different context. And we can choose the context that we set ourselves in. If we determine ourselves to know what he's doing, where he is, and we speak the truth and his promises, then we can press the reset button and change the context. Again, I don't want to decry your situation or pain, but I know that this is the better one because I know God is good. I know he keeps his word and his promises. I want to be dangerous, not useless. God is calling you, 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 and you to be dangerous, not useless. And sometimes it's because of our context where we find ourselves. The word context is Latin. Con means with, chili con carne. You're getting an education today. It's con, it means with. And the second part is from a Latin word called texere. Not text here, texere. And it means to weave. And that's what happens, doesn't it? In our lives, the truth of our of the situations that we find ourselves in. You know, your partner might have left you, your house might have burnt down, the dog might have bit you. And that's woven into our lives if we're not careful. But we need to be on guard. We need to guard our hearts diligently, for out of them flow the issues of life. Are you with God? Are you con God? You can answer. You're not going to put me off. Emmanuel, God, con. The context is Emmanuel, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, con, on the inside, with. But what are we? Are we weaving his truth into our lives? Are we weaving his promises? If God be for us, who can be against us? With God on our side, who shall we fear? But I've got no money to pay the bill. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. We can choose to let the devil and life weave such stuff into our lives that the fire is nothing. But if we choose to weave a different context, to reset by our choices as kings and priests who reign in life by one Christ Jesus, that then we become dangerous. I want to declare to each one of us, that's what God wants for you this morning, is to be dangerous, to see the world as the bush, and that's who you are. We can be a country and western song, or we can be a hymn of praise. 1 Thessalonians 5, 18 and 19 says this: thank God in everything, no matter what the circumstances may be. There's some weaving going on. Be thankful and give thanks, for this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus, the revealer and mediator of that will. do not quench or suppress or subdue the Holy Spirit, whose fire is in Zion, whose furnace is in Jerusalem. You know, we have a choice to build our lives around Holy Ghost. In some senses, I want to say to you, there's no choice. There's no real choice. If you're awake and alert in God, there's no choice. It's like there's no contest. Why would you? Why would you have this or this? I mean, it's stark if your eyes are opened, isn't it? It's really so, duh. The world says it's a no-brainer, don't they? And that's true, isn't it? It's a no-brainer when you look. But if we build our negativity, if we build all the problems of life, all the lack and all the stuff that we have around the fire, we're liable to, imagine that, you have the ability to quench the Holy Ghost. I think that's scary. I wish sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I wish sometimes when it comes to obedience and doing all this stuff, I wish I had a little switch at the back of my neck that turned me into some kind of automaton, some robot that was just as good as gold 24 hours a day to please God. But we've got to discipline ourselves, haven't we? Disciple ourselves to practice these things. I have a clip, if Joel's got it. And if the technology works, it's only 2 minutes. Just want to say something about this.
Not in Kansas anymore.
You know, 1930, whatever that was made, it was a storm of a film. We're used to Technicolor, HD, double whammy, surround sound, whatchamacallit. But when this was first came out, they just thought it was a black and white film. That clip is called Dorothy Steps into Technicolor. Is anybody with me? Oh, God. Oh, my God. There are people here this morning who are still living in black and white. I got a feeling, Toto, we're no longer in Kansas. I believe that's the word of the Lord. I believe that's the word of the Lord. I believe God wants to do something on the inside where we can say, Rob, Dave, Pete, I've got a feeling we're no longer in the old days. I've got a feeling we're no longer in Kansas, wherever Kansas represents. God wants to take us through that door from black and white into technicolor. Yeah, Wu is right. And I'm just going to read something, and I just feel I want to pray for people. Psalm 68, verses 34 and 35, again from the Amplified. Ascribe power and strength to God. His majesty is over Israel, and his strength and might are in the skies. Listen to this. O God, awe-inspiring, profoundly impressive, and terrible are you out of your holy places. The God of Israel himself gives strength and fullness of might to his people. Blessed be God. Are you a holy place? You can say yeah if you want to. I am. I'm a holy place. God has caused me to be holy. I'm a holy place. Let me ask myself, Jim, is God awe-inspiring and profoundly impressive and terrible out of you? Is God awe-inspiring, profoundly impressive, and terrible out of you? Some of us are not sure. Some of us don't know. Some of us might be, that's what I want. But that's the call of God. That's the call of God on your life. I've lost my match. That's the call of God on your life, to be awe-inspiring out of you, to be profoundly impressive. Imagine that. But some of us are still in black and white days. I'm going to ask the worship band to come back, and I just feel God wants to minister to some people this morning, and myself and others will pray with you. I just feel as though God's got an invitation and a call for us to step into technicolor, to step through a door out of bland, out of beige, out of average, out of our comfort zone, out of what we'll just about do, and I'll look all right, but it's just enough. God's worth much more than that. And he's calling each one of us to step out of the old and to step into something new. And there are specific people who are here this morning who God wants to minister to, and maybe wants to minister to us all, but I just feel some need to come to the front as we worship and be prayed for. Is that okay? And we'll just minister to each other in the Holy Ghost.